the vicar in charge and the chapel council for the opportunity to stand before us and to minister. The prophecy this morning is an answer to prayer, and I think it has given me courage and boldness to say what the Lord has been laying in my heart as I was thinking over the topic I was giving this morning. Our topic says, "Be ye not entangled with the traditions of men." And it's taken from the place we read, Colossians 2, verse 8. The second part of, or the B part of verse 8. Well, I don't know the translation that put it that way, because that wasn't the way the Living Bible put it. But be it as it may, the Lord is telling us something this morning. And he has prepared our hearts by the message that came forth. In fact, when the song was going on, when the praise and worship was going on, the last verse one says, "Ebu Alpha and Omega, Onyembu na Onye Ikpeazu." As that song was going on, something dropped in my heart and I wrote it down. And I said, is God actually my Alpha and my Omega? Well, I didn't read Hebrew or Latin, but I know Alpha is the beginning and Omega is the last, the A and the Z. And I was asking myself during that song ministration, is God my Alpha and my Omega? It was still going on in my heart when they said, God is faithful. I put it down again. I said, do I really behave as if God is actually faithful in my life? In short, the song I was just contemplating when the message started. I think God is saying something this morning. Be not entangled with the traditions of men. Well, I tried to look up the meaning of tradition. There are two words there, entanglement and tradition. And I tried to look up the meaning of tradition to know maybe where to start or what to say. And Oxford Learners, I know it's not the most recent anyway, but it gave it this way: a belief, custom or way of doing things that has existed for a long time among a particular group of people. That is tradition. And in output, it could be religious, it could be cultural. And I tried to look up the meaning entangle, and he says, to make somebody or something to be caught or twisted in something, to be involved in a difficult or complicated situation. And I just put a footnote. Emotion is also involved. So you can be entangled in your emotions. Praise the Lord. So, the summary of the message this morning is that we should not be involved in the complications and difficult situations of tradition. We are all from different backgrounds. We have different traditions. We have different customs. The way they do it in my place is not the way they do it in your place. In fact, there was a day we were discussing. They said that one tradition or one custom that is very common among the Igbos is that the male eats the gizzard. So anytime you slaughter chicken in your house, once the man of the house comes, he says, where is the gizzard? I said, that one is over everywhere. But some people will tell you the men eat the waste, uku. There are others who tell you, no, it's the others that will eat the uku. So there are different traditions and different beliefs. And another way God helped me this morning is that I was just at a crossroad. I said, Before we start discussing this entanglement, I think we'll first of all understand whom we are and what tradition we should think of before we tell ourselves not to be entangled in the traditions of men. And God has helped me too, because our reverend has also made the altar call. I want to say that if you are here and you are not a Christian, when I mean a Christian, I know all of us come to church. If you are here and you have not made Christ your Lord and Savior, Jesus is not the Lord of your life, then you may have to think, because this message may not be for you, except you decide to make God, Jesus, your Lord and your Savior. Be not entangled is a command. And if that is a command, it's being given to a particular set of people. Please, if there's anybody that can read very fast, read us Jeremiah 35 from verse 1. And from verse 1, we will stop somewhere before the end. Jeremiah 35.
One of the side rooms of the house of the Lord and give them wine to drink. So I went to get Jazaniah, son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazinah, and his brothers and all his sons, the whole family of the Archivites. I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the room of the sons of Hanan, son of Igdalia, the man of God. I was next to the room of the officials, which was over that of Messiah, son of Shalu, the doorkeeper. Then I set bowls full of wine and some cups before the men of the Rechabite family and said to them, drink some wine. But they replied, we do not drink wine because our forefather, Jonadab, son of Rechab, gave us this command. Neither you nor your descendants must ever drink wine. Also, you must never build houses, sow seed, or plant vineyards. You must never have any of these things, but must always live in tents. Then you will live a long time in the land where you are nomads. We have obeyed everything our forefather, Jonadab, son of Rechab, commanded us. Neither we, nor our wives, nor our sons and daughters have ever drunk wine, or built houses to live in, or had vineyards, fields, or crops. We have lived in tents and have fully obeyed everything our forefather, Jonadab, commanded us.
Exactly. Praise the Lord. This is a case study. Two things struck me from this passage. First, it was the man of God. Jeremiah called this set of people, the sons of the Rechab, and said, he not only called them man of God, I think in his days Jeremiah was respected because of the words of the Lord that were coming to him. And he now went to this group of people and said, come. They came, they followed him, and they entered into the house of God, the sanctuary. That's our house. That's this God's sanctuary. And he brought out wine and said, drink wine. They said no. He forced them. They said no. He tried. They said no. And they now gave their reason, that our father commanded us that we will not do this. We will not build house. We will live in tents. And that since their forefather commanded them, up till the time God told Jeremiah to do this, that we are not taking any wine. It was a tradition. Other people were taking wine. Other people were building houses. Other people were planting seeds and doing everything the way. For that group of people, or for the Israelites at that time, it was normal to plant seed. It was normal to live in tents. It was normal to drink wine. But these people, because they received instruction from God, from their father, they said they have never taken wine since that time. And I wondered, even a man of God could not convince them to drink wine. Not even that the wine was offered to them in the house. house of God, they could not do it. Because verse 10 said that they have done all those things according to all that their father commanded them. We are Christians. We say we are Christians. We confess that we are Christians. But those commands that the Lord Jesus has given us, those commands or those things we read from the scriptures that he has given us, how do we keep them? How? How do you go about doing them? If these people, if they kept what their forefather, what their grandfather told them, that even the man of God could not convince them to do otherwise, then I think we are joking as Christians. Because the Lord will tell you today to do this thing. Tomorrow you will go out and say, you went to this place. Is this way that they are doing it? And you will go back and start doing that same thing that the Lord has told you not to do. God will help us. How many of us have heard from God not to do a particular thing? And also, I know none of us. Well, I'm sure. Well, let me not say that. I don't know how many of us here are up to 100 years. But these people have said generation to generation, this should be the third generation. But we, the Lord will put it in your heart not to do this thing today. You will try and try and try after 2 years. Maybe you'll be opportunity to travel out or to go to another place. Or you go to a particular church or to one place and you see them doing it. Say, do you know? I went to the other side. That's the way they are doing it. So, and you will do what? You will start doing it. But is that what the Lord told you to do? Christian life or Christianity is a way of life. It's not just, let me just follow them to do what they are. It's not just confessing it. It's not just saying it out. Because I can say I am what I am not. I can say something and I may not mean it. But Christianity is the way you live. The way you live is not only when you come to church. It is not only when you go to a fellowship center. Even in your home, thank God again for what he told us through the message. Even in your school, even in that place where you are doing your business, even in your marketplace, it is a lifestyle. And anybody that comes in contact with you, not just in the church, should be able to say that this person is different. Christian life has its own traditions. And if you are a child of God, if you are somebody like Christ, then you should follow the tradition of the Bible. You should follow the tradition of Christ and not to copy the traditions of men. If you follow the tradition of Christ, the tradition that he has laid down for us, then you are his child. But if you decide to follow the traditions of men, well, you are missing it. Because whatever happened to those men will also happen to us. Praise the Lord. We said earlier that it's a way the group of people do something, a particular group of people, the way they do something or they believe. And our Bible tells us that we should not entangle ourselves with the traditions of men, but rather we should entangle ourselves with the traditions of heaven. That means that whenever I act, if I say that I'm a Christian, anybody looking at me will be able to say, this woman is a Christian. And I have also said that Christianity is a lifestyle. One other thing I want to say is that our custom as Christians, our traditions as Christians, is not stereotypes. And that's why 2 Sundays ago, our mommy was talking on how to be led by the Spirit of God. And he said, you know, the Bible makes us to understand, not she, that those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. If you don't want to be entangled by the traditions of men, then we must be led by the Spirit of God. The only person that gives us direction on what we do as Christians is the Holy Spirit. And because the Holy Spirit is not stereotyped, he can tell me to do something that is not the usual thing. You know, it's not the usual. Anglican Church has a tradition. But since my years in the Anglican Church, by God's grace, I was born in Anglican Church and I've been attending Anglican Church. I know how many churches I have attended. I know that it's not the tradition of the Anglican Church for us to allow prophecies in the church. But if you are led by the Spirit of God, you are a child of God. This is an Anglican church, and we do have prophecies. Why? Because the Spirit directs us to allow him to speak. And the vicar and the people in charge, they allow the Spirit to talk. Because we want to live according to the lifestyle of the group of people we belong to. Christians, we have dual citizenship. We are of this world, but the Bible says that we are in the world, but we are not of this world. And because we are not of this world, there is always a struggle. The struggle is for me to do what is wrong. But my spirit is telling me that thing you're doing is not right. Don't do it. And so we are always at a struggle. And that is why we are often being entangled. We are always struggling with our flesh. He wants to tell us, do this. The Spirit of God inside you will tell you not to do it. And you are at a road that is two roads. And you don't know which way you are going to. Be not entangled. I want to say that if we allow ourselves to be entangled with the traditions of men, then we are not pleasing God. Because the Bible tells us that if we must be his children, we must obey him. Just as these people obeyed their father. If God is our father, we must obey him. We must take instructions from him and not from what our people are telling us. There are many traditions. There are many cultures. There are many beliefs. But what is the Holy Spirit telling you? How do we get entangled? How do we get entangled? Or what makes us to be entangled? I've just said it. Let somebody read James 4, 1 to 2. 1 to 2. James 4, 1 to 2. How do we get entangled? Why? Is it that, you know, we are carried about? James 4, 1 to 2. Are we there?
James chapter 4. From verse 1 to 2. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. James war. James 4, 1 to 2.
Then read 4b.
4.
4b, the latter part of 4.
Okay. 4b says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Praise the Lord. Where do these words come from? It's from us. Because, you know, we are in a kingdom that is not our own. So they want us to behave like them, but we won't want to behave like them. And so there is always a struggle. Do I do this or do I not do it? But I want to say that God will help us. And he who has called us is faithful. If he was able to lead the others through, he will also lead us through. Praise the Lord. Where we read in Colossians chapter 6. Colossians chapter 6. The place we read in our lesson. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. It says, as you have therefore received Christ, As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein in with thanksgiving. As you have therefore received the Lord Jesus Christ. Which means, before we can even start to obey this command, not to be entangled by the traditions of men, we must have first of all received the Lord Jesus Christ. We said it before and we cannot overemphasize it. Once you yield yourself to Christ, then we have started the journey. And you are now ready for the devil, because you have said, devil, it's no more me, bye-bye, I don't belong to you again. I am facing Jesus. And you will now yield yourself to Jesus, and God said, walk you in him. As you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, walk you in him. And for us to walk in him, we must know the things he's telling us to do and the things he's not telling us to do. If we read Matthew chapter 5, from verse 21 to Matthew chapter 7, we'll see a lot of instructions that the Lord Jesus himself said. A lot of laid down rules that he told us. Don't do this. Don't be anxious. He said, don't be anxious. He talked about giving. He talked about anxiety. He talked about taking oath. He talked about retaliation. He talked about divorce. Even how we should fast. Anxiety and all those things. They are our own tradition. When you go home and read it and think on it, you will be surprised that, no, there is nothing that is lacking in this Bible. One of my sons said one day, he said, Mommy, do you know something I've discovered? I said, no. He said, I've discovered that there is no situation you will find yourself in this world that is not in the Bible. You see, you discovered it. They say, yes, there is no situation you will find yourself in this world that you will not see where it happened in the Bible. And if that is true, why is it that when we have a problem, we'll start looking for people to tell us what to do? And by the time they'll give us their own tradition, whether it is religious tradition or whatever, you know, we are lost. Why won't you go back to the Bible, which is the blueprint for us as Christians, and see what the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us to do? So if you read that place, you'll see a whole lot of things that the Bible says. He said a lot. But this is that when we are in this kind of dilemma, to do this or not to do this, what do we do? How do we remember what the Bible says? Let us read John 14. Let us read John 14. Read chapter 16. Read verse 16 and verse 26. John 14,
verse 16. And right. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever.
Verse 26.
But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you.
Praise the Lord. So, the Lord Jesus, before he left, promised us the Holy Spirit. He said that the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, will come. And he said that place, I don't know whether it's in your Bible, that he will abide with us, with me, forever. The Holy Spirit is not just living in me, remaining dormant. If the Holy Spirit lives in me, he will guide me on the rules, the customs, the traditions of the place where I belong. That same Holy Spirit will tell me when to do the right things and when not to do. And just as I said, he's not stereotyped. He can lead you to do something that somebody have not done. And say, Onyanka, Kekwebo, Shwea, Mutanka. And that 26 said that when he comes, he will teach us all things. And he will remind us the ones that the Lord Jesus Christ has said. So you see yourself in a very difficult situation sometimes. You'll be asking, hey, Lord, what do I even do in this kind of thing? I don't even know what to do in this kind of thing. And all of a sudden, you will hear a word. And you'll be wondering, and you will do it so, and it will work. And somehow, I'm not a good historian. I know that most of the discoveries they did, that it's just God telling them what to do, dropping it in their mind, and they will do it, and it will work. So he said that the Holy Spirit has been left for us to be with us forever. And at times, we will look outside, not even inside us, to ask the Holy Spirit, what do we do? Do we have any examples? I want us to take some examples from the scripture of how some of our brethren, our brothers, stayed without getting themselves entangled with the traditions that we are living in. And the first person I want to consider is our brother Abraham, our father Abraham. We know that Abraham is the father of all the faithful. The man that had faith. How did he remove himself from the traditions of the people he was living with? You know, we may be wondering, but I was just trying to say, how did Abraham, that tradition, how did he remove himself from it? And we now discover that Abraham has a cousin, Lot. I know Lot is Abraham's nephew, the son of Abraham's brother. But the father died, according to Genesis chapter 12. The father died before their father, that's before the grandfather, Lot's grandfather. And when the Lord told Abraham, come to a place where Abraham carried Lot. In Genesis 13, something happened. They said they have grown so rich, both the Lord's people and Abraham's people. They have grown so rich. And, you know, there is strife, there is envy, as we are warned this morning. There are these people who are saying, Nke Lot akazikwa, Nke Nde akazikwa, Opa Lot akopta robotia. And they were just doing it. Abraham got to hear of it. He called his nephew. Lot, come. And when he called Lot, the tradition demands, their tradition, I know, he demands, okay, Lot, you take this way, me, I'm going this way. Let us avoid strife. But Abraham didn't do it that way. Abraham just said, brother, let there be no strife amongst us. We have the whole lot of land before us. Please choose. Abraham and Lot, who was supposed to choose first? Abraham. Abraham trained Lot. Abraham and Abraham said, Lot, oh yeah, choose. And brother Lot chose. He didn't even say, this papa that trained me. He decided to choose. Abraham allowed him. And Abraham didn't even murmur. After Lot has chosen. Please, was that the tradition of men? No. Abraham chose last. Lot chose first. Because Abraham was looking at something. He's not interested in all these things. He said, let me just please that man that has called me and told me to go. Let me please him. That was our father Abraham. We call him father, we call him brother. But look at what he did. In the time of strife, what do we do? Can we allow somebody we trained? You fed him. And he decided to choose first. Be sure the whole Christian kingdom will hear it. Every brother that comes across me will hear it. After all I did for this brother, look at what he did. But that was the end of the story. Because Abraham didn't want to be entangled with the tradition of the things that were happening. We want to consider another character. Our sister Ruth. In short, anyhow you want to look at Ruth, you look at him. When our sister was talking the other day, he used her an epitome of meekness. But let's look at Ruth. When we take our vows, our marriage vows at the altar, what do we say? For better, for worse, until death do us part. And that was her plight. But death parted her and the husband. The husband died. And she was left without hope. That even the mother-in-law called her. In short, some of us will stand. But by the time it comes from that person that we are looking up to, we'll say, okay, if she said, let me go. The mother-in-law called her and said, I don't have any hope. The future is blunt. Even if I should have a baby this night, will you wait for him until he is grown to marry you? Please go back. There is no hope. There is no future. And the tradition permits it, so death has parted you. So I don't owe anything to you. That is the tradition of men. But Ruth had, you know, that statement we are using to sing, entice me not to leave you. Do we sing it? We sing it, yes. But do you think he was saying it to Naomi? No. He saw the God of Naomi. He saw the God of his husband, her late husband. He saw their God. And when Naomi was saying all these things, he has seen that God. He has witnessed what the Lord has done. Maybe she has even heard what the Lord did for the Israelites. And after all the things, he said, no amount of pressure will make me leave you. Even though my husband is dead. Even though I'm going, I don't know my hope. Even though I don't know what the future holds. But I will not leave this your God. That God will be my God. She did not allow herself to be entangled with the traditions of men. The tradition that said, you can now go. She held on to God. And I know, from the little experiences I have had, there is nobody that will decide to make this God of heaven his God and hold on to him and stick to him that God has ever disappointed. But there is nobody also who has ever come up to say, who is this God? Where is he? That God has never failed to prove to him that he exists. Praise the Lord. So what is it that the Lord is telling you? What the Lord speaks to me or what the Holy Spirit tells me to do may not be what he will allow you to do. Yes, there are things that are stated clearly in the Bible. Do not steal. Do not commit adultery. Do not fornicate. Do not tell lies. Do not do this. Yes. You know, Christians these days, those things may not be mentioned among you. Yes, we may not be doing all those things. We say we are not doing them. But there are little things that the Lord is telling you, which you have left. I will take another example. Let's look at the man, Hosea. Say it's the same Lord that told the children of Israel that they should be spotless and blameless, and they should, if they marry somebody who is not a virgin. In fact, if you read the Old Testament, I think a lady not being a virgin is one of the criteria for sending the woman back. But this same God told Hosea, go and marry a prostitute. And the people were saying, prophet, man of God, marrying a prostitute. He obeyed because he was serving a living God. That the God that said, go and marry a prostitute, has his reason. He's the same God that created the universe, and he's the same God that gave the law. Praise the Lord. He obeyed. He married a prostitute. They had children. Many times the woman went back. God told him, go and bring her back. He kept obeying. No wonder Jesus was talking to the disciples one day after saying, Peter just said, hey, Lord, this is a hard saying. Who can believe it? Because at times God will tell us to do something that you will think. You can't even know where to start. But if you have heard from God, why not hold on to it? What of our sister Esther? It wasn't the tradition for her to go and see the king go. In short, it was because the first queen disobeyed that made her to be removed, and Esther was crowned. But because she has to save her children, her people, after God spoke to her through her uncle, she just said, "I will. If I will die, I will die." And what did he do? She did that. Did she die? No. Because God told her to do it. We have many examples. I will share just two contemporary, the one that happened, now that we are in this world, and we'll round up. Because the Holy Spirit can lead you to do something. Or the Holy Spirit would have spoken to you a long time to stop doing something. And you have stayed and stayed and stayed. And all of a sudden, you started doing it. Why? Did he tell you to start? Because you have seen others doing it. That even in the church, they are doing it. So is there anything wrong with it? Once you start having struggle in your mind, whether there is anything wrong or not, it's what you are doing. My dear, it's wrong. Don't do it. I have a colleague. They married as unbelievers. They were not born again before their marriage. And along the line, the man repented first. When the man repented, the husband, the wife, took some time before she repented also. But the wife used to apply this lipstick heavily. And when the man repented, that thing started repelling him. And he doesn't like it. He called his wife several times. "I don't like this lipstick that you apply. Will you stop applying it?" The woman said, "No. After all, I was like this when you married me." And when the man sought counsel, they told him, "Just keep praying for her. The Lord that opened your eyes will also open her eyes." And that was what the man did. He stopped talking about the lipstick. He stopped. Sure, there's a certain relationship. You wouldn't even know there's anything. One day, the woman bought lipstick. Then they haven't had any issue. Somehow it got lost. He accused the man that he threw it away. "The man said, 'I didn't touch your lipstick.' She bought another one. The thing got lost again, mysteriously. There are just two of them in their house. Maybe they now started accusing the house help. Nobody knows who took the lipstick. She bought another one. So the Holy Spirit changed his pattern. So this time around, he applied the lipstick. When she applied the lipstick, the next day she had this kind of boil, all through the lips. Hey, she said, "I don't know what has happened to my lips." So the husband was, "Did you eat anything hot? What happened?" They said, "Maybe what is it? Electric ants." They don't know. So for those periods, she stopped applying lipstick, and the boils and the wound got healed. Kept quiet. After some time again, she applied it. The next morning, those boils came up again. The boys went. It happened 3 times. She now called the husband, "I won't apply this thing again." So that woman till today, each time I see her, she stares it out. Now tell me, tomorrow she will go to a church that the pastor, the wife of the pastor preaching, has painted her lips and applied the lipstick and the heavy ones and the black and the light ones. Do you think she will go back to pick that lipstick? If she goes back, she has forgotten what she received from the Lord. So are there things that the Lord told you specifically not to do? And today, because you have seen the mighty man of God, and they preach, and miracles happen, and they are doing it, and you have decided to go back to it. My dear, the Lord is saying, be not entangled, no matter from where. The people, the children of Rechab, even in the house of God, refused to take wine. I will share another example. As a young student in secondary school, we used to have very hectic Sunday. So each time after church service and everything, when I go back to read, I'll discover that I won't be able to read. In short, I'll be crying. Why is it that I will go to church, I will go to this, I will not be able to read on Sunday? It happened for some time. Me, not another person. And after some time, one day I was just there, I said, why don't you stop reading on this Sunday? Since after all that you have done, you will end up being annoyed because you did not read. I said, okay, I think that's what I will be doing. I won't be reading on Sundays. I stopped reading on Sundays. By God's grace, I repented in secondary school. I stopped reading on Sundays. Even if I have exam on Monday, I will not read on Sunday. I will do everything I will do so that I will not be annoyed at the end of the day that I did not read. And once it's just midnight, I will start. I will get up and start reading. And I did it for years. Then, any subject that will take on Monday, usually will be my highest. Whether I read that paper or I did not read it, it will be my highest for that exam. I observed it consistently. I continued. When I entered the tertiary institution, I continued. I said, let me continue. Since it worked for me in secondary school, let me continue. And along the line, when we are taking, I think it should be at a day, when we are taking anatomy, physiology, biochemistry, and all those things, and that particular Monday, we had anatomy. Hey, I looked up, looked down, looked everywhere. I have not read anything. I don't know anything. I just, hey, God, though, I just rushed to morning service at Chapel of Restoration. And I went back home. I carried my books. I read all through. When the result came out, I failed. So I was crying. I said, God, even in the Kachamana class, can't you the past anatomy? I was crying, you know. I cried and cried and cried. Do you know the message I got? When did you start reading on Sunday? That was just a simple message. I wrote it down. Recently, one of my children saw it and was asking me, Mommy, why did you write this thing? Now, what happened that time you read on Sunday? I said, I don't know. Just forget it. So, when did you start reading on Sunday? Did I tell you to read on Sunday? And I put two and two together and said, what is it that the Lord is saying? Reading on Sunday, is it a sin? It's not a sin. But the Lord knows what he's doing to me. So what is it that the Lord is telling you come out from? Be not entangled. The only way we can succeed in being not entangled with the traditions of men is to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We can't overemphasize it. Because the Holy Spirit will tell you to do something which may not be a very usual thing. And you will think, because other people are not doing it now, if they see me, I'm not reading on Sunday, they will say this person, Adika spirituality in Kiaka. It's not that your own spirituality, but it's the way God wants to deal with you as an individual. I'm sure that as I'm talking, there are things God is pointing out in your life. The things he has told you to stop doing, or the things he has told you to do, which persistently, you're looking at other people, and because other people are doing, you're still doing those things. My dear, if you want to excel wherever God has called you, if you want to excel as a leader, if you want to excel even in your academics and in your business, you have to walk as the Holy Spirit is leading you. And remember, the way he is leading you is not the way he is leading me. So don't compare you, and say, what of this sister? She is doing it. After all, she is a sister. She is doing it. Just be convinced that what he has told you to do is not doing it. I told people that if I was blessed with a girl child, I would have pierced her ear. She would be putting on earrings. But you see me, I don't put on earrings. Because I had an experience. I don't want to share that one. But I had an experience. So even when my mother was saying, the man you will marry must force you to put on earrings, I say, after all the Lord did to me, I will go back and, God, better don't give me that man that will force me to put on earrings. Praise the Lord. So tomorrow, don't just remove your earring because Sister Hope is not putting on earring. What has the Lord told you to do? In conclusion, earlier this year, we received a prophecy in this church that the Lord wants to set a light here, and that the light he's setting here will go over, all over. That he will use this church to go to places. I think he emphasized this again this morning. That he will use this church The light is setting here to go to places. This thing cannot be possible when we allow ourselves to be entangled by the traditions of men. That prophecy can come to pass if we allow ourselves to be entangled. But we will hasten that prophecy to come to fulfillment when we start living as the Spirit is leading us. So if you don't get entangled, you must be somewhere. You can't be in between. And that is one of the problems we are having. I'm a Christian. When you act, you are acting differently. Satan can mimic miracle. Satan can give imitation miracle, magic. He can give imitation of everything. But Satan cannot mimic holiness. And Satan cannot mimic righteousness. It is not in his nature to be holy. It is not in his nature to be righteous. So don't follow signs and wonders. Because they did it and it worked. My dear, what is the Holy Spirit leading you to do? Do it and he will prosper you. All the exams I wrote on Monday when I obeyed the Holy Spirit was my highest. Even at first year, these statistics, I lost memory of everything he was taking on Monday. I was just saying, God, you know I read this. I did not remember. God, I will just throw up paper up and down. If it is this, I will know it's this formula. And if it is B, I will know it's the other formula. God helps me. After the exam, I cried and cried. But when the results came out, I don't know. I said, God, maybe God went and rewrote my paper. I passed. I had a B. But look at the one I spent all night reading. I went back the hall. I did not remember anything. I said, I will see. I said, I read this thing now. But I read the histology of this. I heard this one. God, why am I forgetting this thing? And I failed it. And I learned my lesson. Praise the Lord. May the Lord help us. There are little things. Small things. Even now in our homes, the Lord speaks to us. On daily basis. It's not only when we come to church. On daily basis, the Lord speaks to us. He tells us things to do. In our offices, the Lord tells us things to do. In the places where we are treading, the Lord tells us what to do. Please, for God's sake, you are a child of the kingdom, heavenly kingdom. You are not of this world. Even though you are here, the children of Israel, they were told, you are strangers. Don't even build houses. Today, the Lord has blessed us. We are building houses. We are buying beautiful cars. And we have forgotten that we are strangers. You are a stranger. As far as this land is concerned, you are a stranger. And one day, you will leave. Last night, I was carrying my son. I said, now that I'm carrying you, when I grow old, you will carry me. He said, Mommy, are you sure you even grow old? Jesus will come before you grow old. And I laughed, but as I said, it's a prophecy. I don't know when the Lord is coming. But that thing we want to do, because people are doing it. If the Lord meets you, we don't know when he's coming. But if he meets you at that point, what will be your story? Nothing that is unclean will see him. What will be your story if the Lord meets you? And you are doing what he has told you through the Spirit not to do. What will be your story? What will be my story? And I keep praying, God help me. So that I will, whatever I'm doing will be what you have told me to do. Finally, recently there was an issue in my family. I want to end with this family story. We know it's the tradition for us to obey as women and submit. And in short, that decision, I wasn't so comfortable with it. I was annoyed for days. I said, How can there be a car here? And you tell me to go and tell these children to enter public transport and go to Nsukka. It didn't go down well with me. And for days I was annoyed. And I went down and said, I remember what our mommy says. She said, the only way to change the situation is to tell God about it. So I went down on my knees and started praying that God will help him to change his mind so that these children will be taken to Nsukka with in the vehicle instead of going to take public transport. I was just praying. Nothing happened. So before they left, I called them to talk to them. Just as I opened my mouth to advise them, this passage of the scripture came. I still couldn't get the exact date. I think it's in Exodus or Deuteronomy. He just said, if a married woman makes a vow, and the husband says, no, you will not pay that vow, that the vow stands cancelled. If a child makes a vow, and the father or the hears it and cancels it, the vow starts cancelled. And immediately this verse came to me. I kept quiet. I couldn't talk. After some time, I heard the voice. I said, if a vow made to me is cancelled because the husband said, then going to Nsukka in a public transport is nothing. It's God that said that too. That if you make a vow, me now as a married woman, make a vow. The first time I read that passage, what I decided is that any time I make a pledge in the church, I'll not tell my husband before he tells me not to pay. But this time around, it's coming in a different way. That if the vow made to him, he cancelled it because the husband said no. What is it that you don't use this vehicle to go to Nsukka? What is it? That one is small now. Because this one, you're making the vow to God. When you give money, you're giving it to God. And he said, because your husband said no, don't give that vow. It's cancelled. I will not hold it on you again. I said, God, I'm sorry. At times, it's not so palatable. It's not so easy. But the moment I said, God, I'm sorry, I had peace. All the anger that has built up all this for 3 days just melted. And I was just looking at myself. I said, God, I'm sorry. If we're going to the park, we will go to the park. So even when the children started complaining, God has already dealt with me. I said, going to the park is the best. So when you go to, when you get to Nsukka, hire keke and go to your place. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Serving God is interesting if you allow him to lead you. And it is my prayer that as many of us as are here, that we will allow this Holy Spirit of God to lead you, to lead us. In short, we will solve a lot of problems. We will shelve a lot of pains and problems off our shoulder if we allow him to lead us step by step and day by day. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray?